Grumblings. If the executives at Decision Tech had any doubts about Catherine when her hiring was first announced, and they did, they were even more concerned after their new leader's first 2 weeks on the job. It wasn't that Catherine did anything controversial or misplaced. It was that she did almost nothing at all. Aside from a brief reception on her first day and subsequent interviews with each of her direct reports, Catherine spent almost all of her time walking the halls, chatting with staff members, and silently observing as many meetings as she could find time to attend. And perhaps most controversial of all, she actually asked Jeff Shanley to continue leading the weekly executive staff meetings, where she just listened and took notes. The only real action that Catherine took during those first weeks was to announce a series of 2-day executive retreats in the Napa Valley to be held over the course of the next few months. As though she needed to give them any more ammunition, none of her reports could believe she had the gall to take them out of the office for so many days when there was so much real work to be done. And, to make matters worse, when someone suggested a specific topic for discussion during the first retreat, Catherine refused. She had her own agenda already set. Even the chairman was surprised and a bit unnerved about the reports of Catherine's early performance. He came to the conclusion that if she didn't work out, he should probably leave along with her. That was beginning to feel like the most probable outcome. Observations. After her first 2 weeks observing the problems at Decision Tech, Catherine had more than a few moments when she wondered if she should have taken the job, but she knew that there was little chance that she would have turned it down. Retirement had made her antsy, and nothing excited her more than a challenge. While there was no doubt that Decision Tech would be a challenge, something seemed different about this one. Though she had never really feared failure, Catherine could not deny that the prospect of letting the chairman down spooked her a little. To tarnish a reputation so late in her career and among friends and family was enough to worry even the most secure of people, and Catherine was certainly secure with herself. After surviving a stint in the military, raising her boys, watching countless buzzer-beating basketball games, and standing up to union bosses, Catherine decided she was not about to be intimidated by a bunch of harmless yuppies whose greatest hardships in life so far had been fighting off the first signs of a receding hairline or an expanding waistline. She believed that as long as the board would give her enough time and leeway, she would be able to turn Decision Tech around. And Catherine's lack of in-depth software experience did not concern her. In fact, she felt certain that it provided her with an advantage. Most of her staff seemed almost paralyzed by their own knowledge of technology, as though they themselves would have to do the programming and product design to make the company fly. Catherine knew that Jack Welch didn't have to be an expert on toaster manufacturing to make General Electric a success, that Herb Kelleher didn't have to spend a lifetime flying airplanes to build Southwest Airlines. Despite what her limited technical background might have indicated, Catherine felt that her understanding of enterprise software and technology was more than sufficient for her to lead Decision Tech out of the mess it was in. What she could not have known when she accepted the job, however, was just how dysfunctional her executive team was and how they would challenge her in ways that no one before had ever done.